So, following up with Treehouse of Horror 14 on November 2nd, 2003. All right. Here we have a little bit of... Me and Cameron talked about this earlier. I think that the opening to this episode is really awful and mean-spirited, in which the Simpson children, dressed as Charlie Brown and Lucy...
Yeah.
They take off their masks...
They get into a fight.
And... over not having enough candy or something. Yeah. And they begin to, like, really... like yell at each other and like do very violent things to each other, and then the whole family joins in.
Yeah,
and that's it. Yeah, and it's really dark.
And I was laughing a lot, so I don't know what that says about me.
Charles Schultz was dead by this point too, right? So it's like
Well, they had taken off the mask at that point, but there was a part where they piss off Homer. He goes, "Eat fire, punks!" And it was just. Hilarious to me. And then he rolls him up in a carpet and he's got a baseball bat.
And he's just beating
them. He just keeps going, hit the lumps. And then he sets Grandpa on fire and Grandpa goes, "I'm still cold." I was laughing pretty hard. I don't know.
How it feels to me, it feels Family Guy-esque.
Yeah.
Like this thing, because it's after, like, I'm not sure where this is in the Family Guy timeline. I think this is when it was off the air. Because it started in like 99, I think.
I could see producers being like, come on, take it up a notch, we need fresh, we need real, appealing.
Well,
audience.
And it's funny that you say that, Alex, because the first segment is Reaper Madness, in which Bart kills Death and Homer has to take over, which is exactly a Family Guy episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But an original series
Family Guy. Yeah.
With Norm MacDonald as Death.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
You cannot top that.
Right.
Ever.
That happened, because I looked it up earlier, that happened in 2002. But it's still a funny, like, this is one I really hadn't seen. So when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is pretty funny. But it was just dark. Because there's a joke later on where Lisa brings Homer in for career day.
Yeah.
And is talking about how Homer is deaf. And Miss Hoover says to the kids, "Who wants to see Mr. Simpson's Harvest of Soul?" And then she brings in a hobo.
Yeah.
And Homer...
You
got a warm meal for me? And then Homer kills the hobo!
Well, it like cuts away and you hear him do it. And all the kids go, "Yay!"
Yes! It's horrifying. But this the follow-up...
Horrifying, yet we're laughing.
Right, true though. The follow-up segment is Frankenstein... I don't know. You want to talk about that one?
This is the one where Professor Frink's father, who's kind of like an Indiana Jones type, his dead father, he brings him back to life, kind of in the style of Frankenstein's monster, and he's voiced by none other than Jerry Lee Flavin Lewis.
It's perfect.
And they keep doing that gag with, you know, the killing and the loving and the falling, like just ad nauseum, and it's but in a good way,
right? But it's, again, for whatever reason, super violent. Like, the father, once he's this monster, is just ripping organs out of people. Especially at the end, he's just cramming everyone's brains into his head.
Oh, is that, yeah, that was weird. Is that the one where he rips out Flanders' spine?
Yes.
Yeah.
At that part, I did grimace for sure.
I was like, oh, this is dark.
Wow, Simpsons, really?
Yeah. The final segment is Stop the World, I Want to Goof Off. And it's basically Milhouse and Bart have a stopwatch that can stop time. Mm. Nothing, you know, we've seen it. That was a...
Are you making fun of me?
No.
We're making fun of
Fink. Would I be making fun of you?
Freak.
We just finished talking about that episode. Wink, wink. We didn't take a break. Wink, wink. Moving on to episode 15, November 7th, 2004. Keeping It Kodos, like it's 80s sitcom opener, in which Kang and Kodos are cooking for Kodos' boss.
I kind of like this.
I like it because it's kind of a throwback to Hungry Are the Damned, because all the Simpsons are in the oven
and they're cooking
humans. But it's a funny episode.
And then, like, the boss vomits him up or something.
Yeah, or Bart just kind of bursts out of his stomach and says, "Yay, I'm vomit!"
Yeah.
The first segment is the Ned Zone, which is a great send-up of the Dead Zone. Do I really need to say any more?
I think I watched this hours ago, so this is all very fresh.
But that really don't need to say much more about that, right?
I mean, yeah, he can see people's deaths, and he tries to prevent him from killing Homer Simpson, and It wasn't amazing.
No, but it's a funny take on the Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess this was probably in the heyday of the Anthony Michael Hall TV show of the Dead Zone.
Which was awesome. I feel like that's one of the ones that they probably came up with the title. They came up with the title before they came up with the episode,
right.
And then just
right.
built the rest around yeah. it. Like, oh, this is too good. This is too good of an idea.
The follow up is a period piece called Four Beheadings and a Funeral, in which Jack the Ripper was killing prostitutes across London, and they have to call in Sherlock Holmes, which is played by Lisa.
Oh, yeah, that was the an awesome sight gag where they had Scotland Yard. Our motto is, what's all this then? There's just a lot of really stupid British,
that's
like
a great
British
line,
symbols.
You know,
yeah.
Like kind of Cockney culture.
No, it is. My favorite part is the ending in which Ralphie's in the opium den. And he turns to Chief Wiggum and he says, Danny, I just had the craziest dream. And he says, you're still in it, son. And they just take off through the White Dragon Wonderland.
Yeah.
And wine is never wasted on Ralph.
No, ever.
One of my favorite characters. Just always brings a smile on my face. Always. Just so gold.
You know what you gotta do, Ralphie? Burn them. Not a Halloween episode, but that's my favorite.
I think I remembered the line from the melted down gun slide.
Oh, what does he say?
It's something like, the metal tickles my bottom.
Yeah. The final segment in this episode is in the belly of the boss, in which the Simpsons get shrunk down to go after Maggie, who is inside Mr. Burns in a pill.
Is this before or after Futurama did that?
I think it's probably
it's definitely
around
after
the same.
Magic School Bus.
Then,
did it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then Family Guy did an earlier.
Emissions Impossible.
Yeah, Emissions
yeah.
Impossible.
And there's a Rugrats.
Oh,
I,
that, yeah.
I think it's just a classic thing.
It is a trope.
Yeah.
I know. But.
Like, there's a Rugrats episode like that.
Well, and there's a movie.
Yeah,
there's
like,
a movie.
Like, movie.
Most
Fantastic
of every Magic School
Oh, you're fucking with me?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with me, Childs?
Yes and no.
Okay. Inner Space, bro.
And
there's another one.
Reset.
Was it? Fantastic Voyage?
Yeah, that was another one.
Yeah.
That's a Coolio thing, right?
No, we're not going to talk about this anymore.
Say what? I don't know.
Anyway.
Okay, which...
Holy shit.
Real side note. Which episode was it where Bart... Was it the Harry Potter send-off where he... Bart is trying to turn a frog into a prince?
Yeah,
and
it turns into the I should not be.
He just keeps vomiting because that was awesome.
That's a great... That's probably one of my all-time favorite Simpsons sight. Because
it's really disturbing.
Like, he basically turns into Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, like, except a frog. I should not be. Kill me.
But I always love the fly tropes.
Yeah.
They're always great, because it makes me smile.
Me too. Treehouse of Horror number 16, November 6, 2005. What a good year. it begins with artificial intelligence, which is just a send-up of AI, the Simpsons get a robot kid, blah, blah, blah. What's weird about this segment is that it ends with Homer waking up from all this being a nightmare, except he's, like, in the middle of being exorcised by a priest. And it lasts for about 20 seconds, where they could have devoted, they've never done an exorcism episode, segment. They waste it.
Yeah.
In these 20 seconds, you know, like these 20 seconds.
That would be really good.
A lot of people don't like, oh, it was all a dream type situation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't really mind if other people are like, dang it, why?
Right.
No.
I hate it when Breaking Bad did it like that. Like, that just.
See what you did there.
Breaking Bad Dreams.
You know what I'm saying? Wow, you're on fire.
I call for a sound effect.
Right. Let's see, what do you got? What is that?
It's supposed to be a gunshot. I'm sorry.
These are,
sorry,
you need to
America.
Just make one.
It's not like a basketball.
the second episode or second segment is Survival of the Fattest, which is a dangerous game send up.
Yeah, I remember. I did see this one.
Not again, though. Not a whole lot to say about that. Do you have anything to say about this segment?
I think this is one I had to skip because I couldn't get it to play right.
Okay. Then the last segment is I've grown a costume on your face. Funny. Which, again, would have been a great framing story. All of Springfield is together celebrating Halloween at a costume contest on Town Square when a real-life witch turns everybody into the costumes that they're wearing.
It's a great concept.
It would have been a great, like...
They did that in Buffy before this, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a direct parody of this, but there's an older Twilight Zone episode that's like that. I don't think it's a witch, but there's like... It's like a family living in a house. Oh, it's in a will. They're left these masks in a will, yeah. And they become their costumes.
Right. Mm. Oh, that's a great episode.
Yeah, really
man, we need to do that as an episode. Mm. Twilight Zone retrospective. Anyway, Well, that's it about that one, because what else can you say?
Yeah.
17, Treehouse of Horror 17, November 5th, again, what the fuck, 2006. This one, pretty much from start to finish, pisses me off, because it starts with this great Tales from the Crypt opener. You're going up through Mr. Burns' mansion, and everything is decrepit. And then Mr. Burns is the Crypt Keeper. Now, if you were seeing this for the first time, what would you expect?
Three stories told by Mr. Burns.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But they completely fucking abandon it. Like, it's gone. And they do it. Yeah.
It's awful.
I do have two things to say about the intro. One, that it's like one of the, at least in the Treehouse episodes, very noticeable use of 3D in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Which to me still doesn't feel right. I understand that they need to do certain things for, budget reasons or whatever, but I just don't think it looks right with the rest of the Simpsons artwork. But also, I laughed. I got a good kick out of it when it's going through everything and then it's act falls. Like he falls down the stairs or whatever. I thought that was good.
But the episodes, the first one being Married to the Blob, and this is when the sound effects really bothered me. I watched this one earlier with my headphones on. And at one point, Homer eats this blob out of a meteorite because he thinks it's a space marshmallow. And it tries to come out of his nose and mouth, so he's snorting it back up.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Awful. I mean,
it comes out of his ears.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. It starts coming out of it. It was just so bad. And then he turns into the blob and he eats everything in town. And then who tries to stop him but Dr. Phil? I just hated it so much. Dr. Phil? Really?
Yeah, it's like it's one of those things where it's like the Jerry Springer thing where it's like we're gonna include something that's topical and now regardless
so
of how this is gonna
with
look.
Our young audience that's growing up.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But not.
Yeah, and not at all. And now it's just like who gives a shit about Dr. Phil in 2013?
Right.
You know.
And this kind of carries over into the second segment. You got to know when to golem, in which Krusty the Clown has a golem. And Bart steals it and is having it do his bidding. And at the end of the episode, Homer and Marge make a female golem that it ends up being voiced by Fran Drescher. Nothing makes me want to shoot myself in the fucking face more than hearing Fran Drescher's voice.
Making fun of Fran Drescher.
But it was a her.
Yeah. Even if it is her, but they're tearing her a new asshole, then it's going to be funny. But
they
did.
And again,
it's just a paycheck for her.
Right.
Yeah. And way to be topical, putting Fran Drescher in your show
in
2006.
Come on.
Please.
How long had the nanny been off the air and off reruns?
Right.
They quit showing reruns of the nanny, damn it. No more. But I mean, she did beat cancer, so I don't have anything against her.
Did she?
I think so.
Oh,
she beat
it
with voice.
And we got really dark. Yeah.
That should have been the episode.
Oh, like, come on. Let's stop. Jeez.
I'll start laughing like her.
The final segment is The Day the Earth Looks Stupid, which is basically just a send-up of War of the Worlds, but the radio broadcast.
Hmm. I enjoy any impression of George.
You want to take that one again? Orson Welles?
Orson Welles. George Orson Welles.
George Orson Welles.
George Orson.
Yeah.
Kind of same phonemes there.
Scott Carter.
Scott Carter.
George Orson Orwell Scott Carter.
George Orwell.
I think my thought as a kid, had I seen this as a kid, would have been, why does he talk like the Brain from Piggy and the Brain?
This episode kind of like, I didn't like it so much because, like, it's like, you know, I was talking earlier about, like, The Simpsons doing, like, political humor but not, like, shoving it down your throat. The end of this one really felt like, and I mean, it's anti-war, which is something that's, you know, that's not a bad thing, but it was really heavy-handed, I guess, was my, yeah, it was.
We don't want preachy in our Halloween, damn it.
Yeah, like, we don't want preachy in our Simpsons, is
my
thing.
Especially
like,
early on, they have the, na na na. Kind of like, it's okay, there's a moral to the story, yeah. But
yeah, I just, from start to finish, I really didn't like this episode.
I hated it.
This leads us to number 18, November 4th 2007.
May have been the last one I caught aside from this year's.
Okay, well, this starts with E.T. Go Home, a direct parody of E.T. I mean, basically from start to finish, if you've seen E.T., you've seen this episode, except that it's Kang or Kodos, and they really, like, pretending that they want to save Earth, but they really want to destroy it. And
surprise.
That's it. Yeah, I mean,
but at least they did a good send-up to E.T., because maybe that was, like, was that an anniversary of E.T.? No. E.T. was older than that.
Jessica, that's what I have to say about.
Okay,
all of
well,
this.
You can tell I haven't seen
this. Yeah.
And it's followed up, and I feel like it's gonna be like this. It's followed up with Mr. and Mrs. Simpson, which is a Mr. and Mrs. Smith parody. What?
Yeah. Why?
Seriously.
In
how many years before 2007 that come out?
But even then, why is this one that they chose for their Halloween episode?
I know there's
like,
so many other movies that come out ever that they could have
right,
parodied.
Exactly.
They're just trying to be fresh. Sorry,
well, and this was right after the movie came. This was the year the
okay.
movie came.
Okay, I couldn't remember. It just seemed older than that because
it came out in 2007.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I had to look it up because in the final segment, Heck House, which again felt like another framing device,
but was not.
Spider Pig is in the episode.
Spider Pig.
And I was just like, "Are you really?"
You bring Spider Pig back now.
Yeah, but it just kind of is one of those things. It's just like, oh my god! I don't dislike the movie.
It's exhausting.
But it's, yeah, it is. It's just one of those little gags.
Inducing.
Yes, that's exactly
like,
the way that I felt.
You can't quite put your finger on it, but intuitively you know. She's like, no.
No, exactly.
This would have been really good in 1995.
Right. Yes.
People talk like this.
Which leads us to Treehouse number 19 in November 2nd, 2008.
No, wait, Zane.
Which begins with a Transformers parody.
Oh, yeah, because...
I don't...
See, it's I don't have a problem with the parodies.
Wait, it premiered December?
November.
Okay, I was about to say.
I don't have a problem with stuff not, and we were talking about this earlier, not being strictly horror, but this Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Transformers doesn't really
and E.T.
fit the mold.
I mean, like, it's just these things that just don't... A lot of the other things that work that aren't strictly horror still have kind of a Halloween feel to them.
Right.
This one, none of these did. But there are two really funny, like, the episode begins with Bart shopping for a gift for Christmas. It's essentially a Christmas episode, or segment, for Christmas for Lisa. And he finds, instead of silly string, he finds somber string. With somebody hanging themselves on the can, and I'm just like, whoa. And then instead of a slinky, he finds a square slunky. Both of those are really funny to me. But that's it.
This was also during the writer's strike, and I'm not aware of how much that affected mm-hmm. The Simpsons, but, I mean, bam, writer's strike.
Right, yeah.
Was writer's strike, it was this time in 2008. But,
right.
Okay, I couldn't remember. 2008, 2007. I remember it was when I was working at GameStop.
Those
days.
This is also features a segment called How to Get Ahead in Deadvertising, in which Homer basically is a celebrity assassin. Again. Just doesn't
not,
work.
There's so much they could have done.
Right.
They could have gone back to the old Twilight Zone tropes
yep.
and actually done a decent, you know, Tales from the Crypt.
Right.
Please.
Please? But this is followed up with it's the Grand Pumpkin Millhouse, which is a passable Great Pumpkin parody.
Yeah, this one I think is better parody than you know Homer beating the shit out of Bart and Lisa dressed in and you know Charlie Brown and Lucy.
Right.
like this is better than that. And I mean like I remember when this episode premiered. Like the first two are and this like the last one was funny.
Right.
It's just not like it's one of those things where like you're laughing at it because it stands out in a pile of crap.
Right.
But if you compare it to any older Simpsons, it still wouldn't stand up.
So let's skip ahead to 20, which is October. We're back in October. October 18th, 2009. Had a great opening in which the Universal Classic Monsters all bust out of their, you know, lairs to go trick-or-treating and attend a Simpsons Halloween party. With hilarious results.
And I mean, a good opening helps.
Yeah, absolutely. As we discovered this year. But this one opens with dial M for murder or press pound to return to main menu, which is almost an exact send up of Strangers on a Train, the Alfred Hitchcock film. And it has a lot of Hitchcock homages. It borrows the Bernard Herrmann score.
And they should have done this before.
Right.
Now, I mean, seriously, because Hitchcock, so much there.
Like, they've
so
never...
So much broad audience you could have watching this.
Right. They've never done a Psycho parody.
You could do a whole Treehouse that's just Hitchcock.
Well, yeah.
Easy. Are they even making more Treehouse? They're probably not.
Yeah, no, there's another... They just ordered another season of Simpsons.
No
so.
Way.
I had heard that this is supposed to be the last one. I could be wrong.
No, they, like, literally, they just announced that another...
Never mind.
That they're doing.
Somebody's watching it. I don't know anybody.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know these people, but...
Well, and they just added it on Hulu, so...
Well, to be honest, I have been watching it on Hulu.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And that makes it more accessible, yeah. So... Mm-hmm. But that's probably another discussion for another time.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But, no, I mean, it's a great Hitchcock send-up, and it's actually a pretty funny segment. It's a murder plot in which Bart agrees to murder Miss Hoover for Lisa if Lisa will take care of Miss Krabappel, which Lisa completely... She doesn't get it at all. So Bart kills Miss Hoover and ends up having to kill Bart too. So it's a pretty funny little episode, or a little segment rather. The second one is Don't Have a Cow, Mankind. And it's basically the burgers that Krusty is serving are made of mad cow and people start turning into zombies. And it's funny, you know, I mean, in the way that zombie, you know, episodes are funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the third and final segment in this episode is a Sweeney Todd send-up called There's No Business Like Mo Business, in which Homer falls onto some leaky pipes in Mo's basement and bleeds into the beer, and people end up really digging Mo's beer because of that. So it's, you know, overall, not a terrible... Treehouse of Horrors, you know, after a few years of kind of mediocre material, it was pretty good. November 7th, 2010, we're getting close to the end at this point. Treehouse of Horrors 21. This one that kind of goes back to just shitty episodes. We have War and Pieces. That episode is about Milhouse and Bart getting sucked into a board game, or the town becoming board games. And they get hung at the end.
Cool.
Which is dark.
That's...
And then there's Master and Cadaver, in which Homer and Marge go on a second honeymoon, and they meet Roger, who's stranded at sea, and there's a murder mystery. And it's dumb.
Is Roger the har?
No.
Okay.
That's the sea captain.
Okay.
You stupid man.
Is that that's the guy from Family Guy, right? With the two
No, that's,
four peg
that's Seamus.
Right. Is that the Krusty Krab clam burger?
I'm going to hit you in the face. Anyway, the third episode in 21 is called Tween Light, and it's a Twilight parody starring Daniel Radcliffe as Edward Cullen.
I was wondering,
makes so much sense.
I was wondering when there was going to be a Twilight one.
Well, there you are. It's
but
called
I,
Tween Light.
This is not one that I saw, so.
It's bad.
Hate it.
Here's the real question. Why has none of these episodes starred Disco Stew?
He needs his own
episode. He's always got little parts in them.
But like, we haven't seen an entire one about him, and I feel like that should happen.
What's an alarm appears to be going off, but like a very crappy alarm.
That's the disco alarm. It's really? Time for disco.
Fire in the disco.
Taco Bell. So not much more to say about that terrible episode, but it gets worse. 22,
which was
2011, which October 30th. The first one is called The Diving Bell and the Butterball, in which Homer gets bitten by a Black Widow and then is paralyzed. What a dark... Number one, what a dark thing to parody.
Yeah.
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Yeah.
And then he gets bit again by a radioactive spider and becomes Spider-Man. But because he's paralyzed, the way that he feels or realizes that he can communicate is through farting. So when he becomes Spider-Man, he can only shoot webs out of his butt.
But it's lowbrow. No.
This isn't like Simpsons lowbrow. This is like lowbrow.
This is like drawn together lowbrow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this one, but it's reminded me of the C-Lab 2021 episode where Murphy gets trapped under the Bebop cola machine.
Yes.
But that was actually funny.
Scorpion. Yeah, that was hilarious.
It's like a koala bear crapped a rainbow in my brain.
Yeah. Stimutags. We need to do a C-Lab retrospective.
I haven't watched C-Lab.
I have them all, so that's going to happen. Another episode. The second segment in 22 is Dial D for Diddley, in which Ned thinks he's being spoken to by God, who tells him to kill people. So it's like a Frailty spinoff.
Dark.
And then let's continue with the lowbrow, where Ned discovers at the end of the episode that Satan is doing Maud, and Maud is somehow in hell.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this is dark.
When you say doing, you mean? What the fuck?
If you can't see, there's a finger going through a thumb and forefinger making this circle.
Sexual intercourse for those of you.
Going as fast as I can.
They're doing it.
Yeah, like that. That's.
Butt.
I don't.
Sex.
What?
I just haven't added anything in a while, so I thought I'd throw that in there.
And then the final segment, very topical, in the Na'vi, and it's an Avatar parody, in which the world is in the future and Krusty has survived, and apparently the world has been taken over by Nazis, and Krusty can't make anybody laugh anymore, so he goes to a distant world that is full of a chemical or naturally occurring mineral called hilarium.
And is there no Inglourious Bastard references in this episode?
I don't know.
Because that would have been great if they had the Nazis. Let's do something bastardy.
Well, see, bastardy. Here's the thing. If you go back and look at other Treehouse of Horror, just Simpsons in general, is there stuff that's that topical? Like, is there a Silence of the Lambs one?
No.
Or is there a Scream one?
No.
That's my point. Like,
why did we need this?
Why are
fan
they doing...
fiction, damn it!
See, here's the thing. And this might be the most fucked up thing I've said all night, and I apologize in advance.
Oh, God.
But, like, I feel like when you have... Like you have Krusty, you have the Nazis, you have like you have Professor Frink as a character. There's no reason that this couldn't have been a Day the Clown Cried reference, and which would have been really horrible. But it would have made more sense than that.
Yeah.
Than Krusty going to another planet.
Yeah. It's weak. The whole episode is weak. It'll be forgotten, you know, in the history of Simpsons, it will definitely be forgotten. The 23rd episode, October 7th, 2012, began with the greatest story ever. And this was another Emmy-nominated episode, and while I understand 6, I don't necessarily understand this one. The greatest story ever told, in which a black hole threatens to eat up Springfield.
Yes, I saw this one.
Yes, in which Bart and Homer are throwing things into the black hole to make it grow bigger.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, they're feeding it.
Yeah.
Which is also another trope, you know.
Yeah.
Feeding something. Oh, like, if you ever saw the anime Cooly Cooly, that kind of happens in the
Or Little
episode.
Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that too.
Which they've never done. Another one they've never done a parody
which,
for.
That would be a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, you can get
it has horror in the title.
Right. Then there's another segment called Unnormal Activity, which is a direct Paranormal Activity send-up, in which Marge is making all sorts of deals with demons. But it ends up that the demon is kind of Mo, like a Mo demon. And Homer ends up, to save his family, ends up having a three-way with the Mo demon and another demon. What is going on?
And this was Emmy nominated. Too.
Yeah,
but then again, they start violent. Doing these Treehouse of Horrors, like the openings, just gratuitous violence just because...
Yeah.
And I also feel like instead of doing the unnormal activity title and being really like it's like they're trying to be funny by being unfunny,
right?
When really it would they could have just the title could have just been Mo Demon Mo Problems, which I feel like that's a lot funnier.
It is a lot funnier. The final segment is Bart and Homer's Excellent Adventure, in which they go through time.
See, now that's a better reference, I feel like, because it's something tried and true. Like, everybody knows what Excellent Adventure is.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
10 years from now, maybe not with Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Which is why it's a dumb thing to parody, because
right.
it's too topical.
We've seen a history, they parody with something that's in and current.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Yeah,
right.
But not in the first decade, though.
Right.
Not
no,
the
no,
first
no.
decade.
But the first decade are the good ones. And
yeah.
I think
yeah.
even they know that.
Right.
So.
And it's probably, I would say, like, the Emmy, I mean, possibly came from the fact that, I know, I haven't seen this one, but I read up on it a little bit before. And the greatest story ever told is supposed to be a topical thing with a Large Hadron Collider.
Right.
Which,
yes,
which that, like, you know, that I'm sure that played a part in it. Like, oh, look at how they're, taking these the current events into, you know, because apparently that's something that nobody does. It's not. I feel like that kind of sway there's
semi-current. I mean, that was still kind of old news this time last year, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. It was a little before that, but I mean, still, I don't know.
But I mean, even with the production time considered, still old news. There we go.
Just now we're
caught up. Treehouse of Horrors 24, October 6th of this year. Let me begin by saying, yes,
best opening ever!
Ever!
Oh my gosh! Okay, if you don't watch anything else this year, watch the opening, especially if you love horror movie Guillermo del Toro. Just Halloween, it's the creme of the crop of couch
everything.
Gags. I mean, there's been some good couch gags, don't get me wrong, especially when they did a kind of a Woody Allen one once, I really liked, but... This one just completely overshadows the rest of the episode, and yes, it's just so wonderful. It's like, thank you, Simpsons.
It's pretty incredible.
Thank you. Because I was expecting this to be the send-off Treehouse of Horror.
No.
But apparently not.
There will be more.
And I'm like, oh, well, still, you know, effort, A for effort.
I'm not going to go off on it. But Guillermo del Toro...
I abandoned my child!
I abandoned my boy!
This was, written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. Go through, just watch the opening if you can, and just try to pick out all the references. There's some really great ones. My favorite being a Phantom of the Paradise reference.
There's a Ray Bradbury reference.
Yes, the Illustrated Man, which is pretty incredible.
My response when Mike first showed it to me was, this is dense. Like,
right.
There
was
so much of it that just flew by me, and there's still some of it I don't get.
It has good replay value, especially with the media we have these days. It's easy to just pause, where if we had a VHS, you can see it. Tracking. And that's what, it makes a richer experience. But what, another... I mean, one of the only ones that comes close to this, in my opinion, is the Banksy one. I really love the Banksy opening couch gag. That was, I mean, but it was a little more powerful, had a message, but we're not going to get in couch gags.
Right.
Another episode. That's a discussion for another time. Ka-ching.
The opening's bittersweet because...
The rest that follows...
The segments are more of what we've been experiencing the past 4 or 5 years.
However, the first segment, Oh, the Places You'll Do, is so good.
Which one is this again?
The Seuss one.
Oh, right.
I did enjoy the Seuss one. I was actually... I felt like I was in a class. I was taking notes. I was like, okay, I like this part.
The artwork was definitely what stood out.
Yeah,
I was
it looked incredible.
That's good
Seuss reference. And they just, the chock full of Seuss references. Like, if you, as a child, or whatever age you may be, when you encountered the books, you'd be like, oh, and then they even, you know, touched on the movies a little bit. Like,
Mike Myers.
I think, he says, yeah. "Don't let me be played by Mike Myers," Homer says when he's dressed as Cat in the Hat. I'm like, ooh, nice.
There's a Lorax moment.
Yeah. They didn't do Jim Carrey as Grinch moment. No. They didn't touch Grinch. They totally could have, but I guess in the industry, you just can't hate on Jim Carrey.
I can, and I will.
That's a discussion for another time.
Ka-ching,
ka-ching. One of my favorite parts of this segment, because I just remember thinking how dark it was that Homer basically, as the Fat in the Hat, cooks and fillets Mr. Burns as a buzzard and feeds him to poor people. And just the image of him cutting him up, I was just like, holy shit, this is dark. But then they revisit the two-headed story for some reason with Dead and Shoulders. I just don't really understand.
My favorite recent two-headed story trope was from Community.
They did a two-headed story?
They did a short one. They did a great Halloween episode a season or two ago, and I would highly recommend it, but we're talking about Simpsons. So this one was just kind of meh. I mean, at the end of this trope, this act two, I really enjoy, it's called Dead and Shoulders, if we didn't mention already. So, old puns. You see, basically, Bart ends up on Patty's, Bart's head ends up on Patty's body, and then she's smoking, and smoke comes out of Bart's ears.
Right.
I like that. Yeah. Lisa's on Krusty, just because, fuck it. We're mixing up heads. We don't give a single fuck right now. We're just going to think, what's funny? And then they have Dr. Nick and Dr. Hibbert. I can't remember who's on who, but still, they're double-headed, and it's kind of funny.
Nick's on Hibbert.
Yeah. Oh, this is how you do, this is how you do medicine.
Yeah.
Another funny part, I like the episode. Basically, I kind of skipped around, but Bart's head has to be attached to, he gets decapitated because he's flying a kite near an airport. Great job, Bart! And he gets decapitated and his head put on Lisa's body, and he realizes when Lisa's awake, Lisa controls her body, but when she's asleep, Bart controls her body. So what's he do? He puts in her lunch some sleeping pills and her yogurt. And what's Homer do? He's like, ooh, yogurt mix-ins! And just starts sprinkling it, and then he falls asleep walking down the stairs, and you hear the off-screen audio, the typical cartoon, falling down the stairs, oh shit thing.
I mean, it's just one of those things, though. I mean, even though it was way back in the first few episodes, just the idea, and it was just a coda at the end with Mr. Burns' head on Homer's body. I just feel like, oh, they did this before.
Yeah.
You know, The Simpsons did it.
And it had a much greater effect on me when it was, when Homer was inside Mr. Burns and he expanded.
Yeah.
So, that was super creepy when the outside of Homer's head is, on the inside of Mr. Burns' body. He's trying to eat.
The head trope doesn't work because I think head tropes should have shock value to them. And this one, because there's so much head switching, you're just kind of shrugging, meh. You know, it's not even funny. It's I see this happening.
Right.
But I'm failing to find the humor in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't really work.
It didn't sparkle.
No.
It didn't sparkle.
The final segment.
Edward Cullen sparkle.
Oh, God. The final segment was called Freaks No Geeks, and it's a direct parody of Ted Browning's Freaks.
Freaks,
which is a movie. Takes place 1940s-ish, possibly 1930s, circus sideshow, sepia tone, so very kind of earthy colors.
I mean, it was, it looks good.
It does look good.
And
so
I
just turned the sound off.
I like the idea of the Simpsons doing, this kind of
I wish they would have
weird
took a steampunk direction, but I bet their audiences, they wouldn't have the audience for it, but it could have been so good.
Well, I just feel like at this point, to do a Todd Browning parody is kind of, that's old hat, everybody's parodied Freaks at this point.
It's a very, when they made such a big deal of the whole one of us thing, which I feel like I've heard so much.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, what do you, they almost, there was almost an attitude to it, oh, we're the first people to do this.
Right.
Yeah. But I do like that they seem super freak. That is, it's fitting.
Not the worst episode overall.
Another, Moe is awful. They really, in the last few seasons, just you know,
bash
him,
on Mo.
Yeah, the bash on Mo.
And when he was never that before. He was always like at least kind of sympathetic. But in this they paint him as like. Like he's always a creep. He's always like borderline rapist.
Right.
He's
the
Meg.
Yeah.
Simpsons.
But yeah. So not the worst. Not the best. Best
the
opening
ever. Seriously, listeners. First of all, thanks for sticking around. This truly marathon. I hate if I had something to say on every single episode. Probably pulling your hair out right now. But we really appreciate it, and we just love doing this.
Yeah,
well, actually,
I mean,
it's our first time, but I think it's fair to say we love doing this.
Absolutely,
talking about Simpsons. I mean, come on.
I mean, I hate it, but you know,
I hate it.
But yeah, we made it. Made it through 24.
Because I said I get paid.
We're in the current year of our Lord 2013.
We're in the year of our Lord 2013,
and we've got
2013.
That's right. And
2013.
I think we need to direct the conversation now to just what. What defines the Treehouse of Horror, and also what defines The Simpsons in comparison to other similar shows that have come since? Yeah.
Well,
didn't talk about why they call it Treehouse of Horror.
Well, the very first episode took place in Treehouse.
Yeah, because Bart and Milhouse were like telling stories to each other. And
Bart
and Lisa. Okay, that's it. I didn't know. If you're listening to this podcast,
and you didn't know that,
yeah,
at this point,
I mean, I forgive you, but I'm just saying, most of you probably do.
And I mean, we probably drive the ball. No, I mean, I feel like, for me personally, I mean, just the classic horror, you know, those first 10 episodes or so where they really kind of stuck to their guns, and then a few, you know, the ones peppered throughout the Hitchcock stuff.
Because notice we spent so much time on those first 10 Treehouses of Horror slash whatever Simpsons Halloween
special,
whatever they called it, but still, it was just so good and so much rewatching value. When you're making your references to be something current and trendy, it's not going to have as much replay value. You're just like, oh, look, someone, you know, famous put a voice on the show.
Right.
Like, we've seen that before.
Well, I mean, like, you feel free to disagree with me, but like, I've always thought that, I've always thought that there is no better way to become culturally literate in America than by watching The Simpsons. Oh, no, not definitely not now.
But for those not familiar with American culture, it does steep you in it pretty well.
Exactly, because,
it serves as an example.
Yeah, it's almost like the, like early Simpsons had like the whole of, you know, of you know, American culture to like to draw from, and now they've just run out of ideas. I mean, as far as references go, like as far as the actual like humor, it's, you know,
humor's
like,
still pretty good. I still
yeah.
laugh.
But like there's no like Mike's looking at me. Mike giving me the go ahead.
No,
so,
I want to hear what you have to say, Alex.
But it like
it's passive aggressive.
It's one of those things that, you know, I grew up watching The Simpsons. My parents never forbade me from watching it.
Forboding.
Don't give me that look.
But I mean, the thing is, you get so much history of American pop culture from that. I mean, it's undeniable.
Or her story.
It's like the educational value of The Simpsons is undeniable, even though it's not an educational show.
Cameron.
It's culturally educational.
Exactly.
If you're not familiar with American culture, and if you aren't, then maybe for some of it, have someone sit down with you and explain some idioms.
I still catch new jokes when I watch old episodes. Like every time I catch new stuff.
Cameron, I want to know what you think.
Well,
in terms of your own question,
this going back to what I was saying earlier, it just feels like, and I know it's so easy for me to say, oh, it was better back in the day, but that's how I felt like the episodes were going, was that the earlier ones felt like they had way more of an artistic bent. They had something to say, but again, without it being this overt, hit you over the head with it, or, again, being a spoof of something modern and therefore dating it.
Sure.
So, like, it's just everything from those early episodes. You see all this movie language in a cartoon, which, again, is what made The Simpsons special, because you didn't have... Like, if you just look at the angles they chose for everything, there's so much of it that just feels like cinema.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it, what made it so special. And
that was
why,
one of the big things we had talked about for sure. Was this,
yeah, when we were watching it, cinema, it's like, yeah, just look at, you know, how they're doing kind of the Dutch angles, or how they're doing like these, like, you know, kind of faux crane movements and stuff that you would see in horror movies.
Right.
It was like they really understood what they were spoofing, whereas in these other things you see that they're spoofing, oh, they're just pointing out things that are dumb about it and kind of making fun of it rather than paying homage.
Right. So, one roundtable question before we go for tonight. Cameron. If you could see them spoof or, you know, parody anything, what would it be?
I think you made a really good point earlier with an exorcism story.
There needs to be an exorcism
story. Exorcism story, especially now.
Yeah.
It's such a popular thing in horror. I mean, it has been arguably for a while, but now there's so much material.
And they could do it so well, I feel like. They could pay it justice. Especially if they had, you know, maybe some extra writers outside or producers come in, like they had Guillermo del Toro that directed.
I'd love to see him just do a whole episode.
Sure. They like, should have made had him do
Peter
the whole
Jackson
thing.
Jackson direct, right. Doctor Who. But
right, yeah. Jessica, if you could see the Simpsons parody, one thing in their Treehouse of Horrors episode, what would it be?
You know, when you asked me that, this isn't necessarily Treehouse Horrors, but I was thinking Firefly. But along that same line, I don't know. I feel like I am so bad at, like, spot-on questions.
That's what we ask the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, this is the hard-hitting question.
Wrong.
Wrong. Special K with banana.
Even though I can't pick the exact movie, if it's just a very well-done, tasteful but hilarious movie reference, something Hitchcock, something Twilight Zone, get back to that. Hell, even literature. I mean, The Raven, I know, is pretty iconic, but dude.
How have they not done more Poe?
Yeah.
How have they not done
The Cask of Amontillado?
Yeah,
dude.
Or The Telltale Heart.
They have done the Telltale Heart. It wasn't a Treehouse of Horror. It was just a regular episode.
Oh,
it was pretty funny.
But it was
really
the diorama
episode. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they could do that as a, you know, I mean, I'd still watch that as a Halloween episode.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
They could do Rocky Horror. I mean, come on. Possibilities.
How have they never done Rocky Horror?
How have they not? I mean, Venture Brothers has done Rocky Horror. Come on.
Alex.
Venture Brothers does Rocky Horror.
Okay, Venture Brothers.
Horror on
is
every
a discussion
episode.
For another time. Yeah. Ching, ching, ching.
Same question, Alex.
Thanks.
We were just talking about Guillermo del Toro. I feel like there's a lot they could do. I mean, there was a part of this in that in the little opener to 24 we had talked about. But I feel like they could do a lot with Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah,
like an entire Pan's Labyrinth.
They already paid homage to it in the opener, so
right.
I feel like take it a step further.
Yeah.
Probably,
I mean, yeah.
More Hellboy, damn it, more Hellboy.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, Hellboy would be good. Hellboy would be good too.
That's just a cop out thing. Hellboy, oh, because we all like Hellboy, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We're right. Good.
You?
Oh, me?
Yeah, come
are
on.
We done?
Mike. Same question. Same question, Mike.
Don't touch me. Maybe some of the classic slashers that they haven't done, like Friday the 13th would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
A Halloween would be cool. Yeah. A Texas Chainsaw would be really cool.
That
the
would
crazy
be probably
Texas.
The best. Out of all of them.
Car Salesman.
Not the Rock,
yeah.
But they
and,
haven't done it before.
And Cletus,
yeah.
The Slackjawed Yokel.
Yeah.
In a Texas Chainsaw.
Slackjawed Yokel.
So, good. Well, that wraps up our Treehouse Horror Retrospective.
Oh, what a
package.
Marathon of a podcast,
It was a hell of a thing.
Friends.
This will obviously be split up into two episodes for those of you with weak constitutions.
Weaker constitution.
But I want to thank everybody for joining us.
We love
Alex,
it.
Thank you very much. Jessica, thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe.
And I guess that's it this week for Bigger Show.
It's been quite a week. We're hoping to do a playthrough of the Halloween game at some point.
Yeah, we have found a brand new Halloween game, and we're going to try to do a playthrough of that.
And also be on the lookout for the Slender.
Yeah, we also have a Slender playthrough to celebrate Halloween. And we have some cool things that we're working on. I don't want to say too much, but hopefully we'll have something soon to submit for your approval. And that's really all that I could say about that.
To submit for your approval.
But next week, we are going to have some special guests from local haunts on to do a haunted house episode. So we'll be hearing from them about their haunts and some of their haunts and their favorite haunts in pop culture. So for a bigger show, this has been
Cameron B. Giles,
Alex,
and Jessica, no last name.
And I am Mike D. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.
Na 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 na.
Happy Halloween!